I'm reading from the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, beginning in the 9th verse. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I love the story. I love all the stories about Elijah and Elisha. But I've been thinking about all the voices that we hear and how they can impact our lives. Yes, I said we hear voices. Hopefully not in the crazy sense in which we typically associate that statement, but voices nonetheless that are very real. Voices that can lead us in good directions and bring blessings to our life, and voices which aren't so kind and can even lead to our destruction. How many know what I'm talking about this morning when I say we hear voices? And they're all around us and we hear them all the time. So let's set the background. I know you probably know what it is, but let's remember that at this point, the nation of Israel had been under the judgment of God for 3 years. Elijah had been supernaturally provided for during this drought that was sent as judgment by God. He had been supernaturally provided as God sent ravens at the brook, at the Kirith Ravine, and they brought him meat every day, but soon the brook dried up. And then he was supernaturally supplied as God sent him to all people, to a widow who had just a little bit of flour, just enough for one more meal, a little bit of oil. And yet Elijah was supplied, she was supplied, her son was supplied, until that entire drought was ended. The flour never ran out, the oil never ran dry. At the end of about 3 years, Elijah had a confrontation with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And the Lord displayed his power and majesty by sending fire from heaven to consume not only the sacrifice, but even the water that Elijah had poured on top of it and had run all around. Because of that display of God's power and the fact that their God did nothing, Elijah calls the people to acknowledge the one true God and forsake their idolatry by slaughtering the 450 false prophets. He then sets his heart to pray. Remember the story about him praying, putting his head between his knees, praying, sending his servant to look, say, "Do you see any sign of rain?" And 7 times he did that. And finally, his servant said, there's a cloud, but it's just the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, "Get ready because it's going to rain." And it rained. And the drought was ended. Jezebel, however, sent her own messenger to Elijah to tell him that she would certainly have him killed for what he had done to her prophets. And at that message, when that voice came to him, Elijah was filled with fear and he ran for his life. Now, frankly, it's something that we would never expect of the prophet Elijah. He seems so powerful, right? He seems to have just the authority of God and the anointing of the Lord. And yet that voice came into his life and he was filled with fear, filled with discouragement, and he ran as fast as he could, all because he heard the voice of Jezebel's threat. He ran for about a day, and then he sat down under a tree and decided he might as well give up. And he actually prayed that he might die. So God sent an angel. The angel woke him up. The angel prepared some food for him. And the angel said, get up and eat, because you have a journey ahead of you. He got up, he ate and he drank, and he fell right back asleep. The angel woke him up a second time and told him to eat again so that he'd have enough strength for the journey ahead. And the Bible tells us that strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and nights until he reached Mount Horeb, where he went into that cave that we read about and he spent the night. So before we get into the details of the voices we hear, I want to go back to that passage one more time. You know, I've read those verses probably hundreds of times, but it wasn't until I was putting this message together about voices that I began to see them in a different perspective. God begins with a question, right? What are you doing here? I love that question from God. I think that's a question we've all heard at one time or another as the Holy Spirit kind of confronts us with our fears. He confronts us with our actions. God wants to know, what are you doing? It's kind of the same voice that Adam and Eve heard in the garden, isn't it? Where are you? It's not like God didn't know. But the voice is more for us, right? It's more of a question so that we contemplate, where am I at? What am I doing here? What circumstances brought me to this point? And what do I need to do to change where I'm at right now? Jim, turn this down just a hair, would you? So God begins with that question, what are you doing here? And Elijah answers it, and it is apparent from his answer and the rest of the preceding story that Elijah has been hearing voices. And not just God's voice, but other voices that were impacting his life and had brought him to this position. See, those voices were shaping. Why don't you listen to me for just a minute? The voices that he was hearing were shaping his perspective. The voices were shaping his assessment of what was true. The voices were shaping his faith and even his will to live. All because he heard these voices. Are we any different? How many times have we heard voices that begin to shape our thinking, our decisions, and our faith? And what happens next in this passage, I've always understood to represent the greatness of God, right? The wind, the earthquake, and the fire. And I'm not throwing that out, but as I read it with this thought of voices in mind, I also hear the Holy Spirit speaking these truths to me. Number one, the voices that speak into our lives can be very powerful. Would you agree with me? I want you to think for a minute about the voices over the years that you've heard. They can be very powerful. In good ways and in bad ways. In positive ways and in negative ways. So when I see these three things, I think about the power of the voices that come into our lives. In fact, sometimes these voices can be so powerful that they can take the place of that which God wants us to speak to us. Do you agree? What if we looked at these elements just a little bit differently, and we saw each of them as a representation of the voices that we hear and their potential to impact our lives? So let's go back. What's the first voice that we see represented in this story? What's the first thing that Elijah encountered? Wind. Write down wind in your notes today. This powerful wind, it says. A powerful wind. And it's a wind that tears the mountains apart and it shatters the rocks. Wow. I want to tell you this morning that voices can have the power to tear us apart and shatter us to the core. Anybody ever been torn apart by the voices in your life that you've heard? They can move us. They can change our direction, just like a powerful wind can change our direction. And they can cause us to go where we don't want to go and where God doesn't want us to be. What's the next power that he encountered on that mountain? An earthquake. Write earthquake down. An earthquake. I thought about the voices that have the power to shake us and cause us to be unstable. When you're in an earthquake, nothing is stable, right? You can't get your footing. You can't stand up. It's shaking everything. And there are times, I know that there have been times in my life when I have heard voices and allowed those voices to just cause me to be unstable. It's like, what do I do next? Where do I plant my feet? I don't know what to do. I can't believe that I'm hearing this. I can't believe that it's having this kind of impact in my life. But it really shakes me up. There have been times when voices have really shook me up. I know you all are going to have me committed after this service, right? Would you come get our pastor? He's hearing voices. What's the third element that he encounters? Fire. Write fire in your notes. There are voices that burn and disfigure us. I mean, there are words. You know, we like to quote that old saying to our kids when they encounter something and they've heard something that they don't like to hear. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is so false. Anybody learned that yet? That, I mean, we say it and we still teach it to them, and I understand the principle behind it. But that is so false, because words can do so much more damage sometimes than even the sticks and stones would have done to us. At least the sticks and stones we probably get over those. The bruises would go away. The marks would go away. But sometimes words last for a lifetime. They can burn us. They can disfigure us for the rest of our lives. All because we hear voices. So what if we looked at those things in that perspective? And we thought about the story. And if God bringing Elijah to this point, and before God speaks, maybe God wanted to point out to Elijah that there were other voices that he had been listening to, that he was allowing to have great and terrible power over his life. And here's one of the reasons why I see this in these passages. Because with each one of these things, and yes, all of these can be theophanies and representations of the power of God. I get that. And I'm not saying I'm throwing that out. But with each of those elements, the Bible specifically tells us, and God was not in it. There was a great and powerful wind and it tore the rocks apart, but God was not in it. There was this earthquake that shook the mountains, but God was not in it. There was this fire, but God was not in it. And one of the points that I want to make this morning is that sometimes these powerful voices which can impact our lives have nothing to do with God. They weren't God's plan for you. They don't represent what God wants for your life, but they sure can do a lot of damage, and they sure can change your direction and impact you in powerful ways. And maybe God is saying, this is what you've been hearing, and then in complete contrast, God comes with this still small voice. It's almost like he's saying, Elijah, I need you to pay attention to me. I need you to hear my voice as opposed to all those other voices that are going off in your head right now that have got you messed up and have changed your direction and filled you with fear and filled you with doubt. I need to quiet all of that for a minute so that you can hear my voice. And I think that's what God wants from us. See, God's voice is so much different than all of these other voices. In this story, God's voice is quiet and still, and it's calming, and it's comforting, and it's truthful, and it gives direction to Elijah's life. And even though it's quiet, even though it's a still small voice, when we choose to give our ear to God's voice, its impact can be greater than all of those other voices that we thought were so powerful. Isn't it interesting in this story that God's still small voice had more power than the wind and the earthquake and the fire? Come on. Sometimes God needs to get a hold of us and get our attention and say, look, there are so many things that are just seem so loud to you right now. But if you will give me your ear, my still small voice will speak more power to you, more authority to you, and more direction to you, and more truth to you than any of those other things could ever do to your life. Because I'm bigger than those things. I'm more powerful than those voices that you've been allowing to speak into your life. So let's talk about some of the voices we hear and how they can impact us, like the wind, the earthquake, and the fire. Number one on your sheets this morning, the voices within. The voices within. I want you to think about the voices that come from within. From within where? From within yourself. All of us have voices that come from within ourselves. Now, I'm not talking about God. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about any of that right now. I'm just talking about the voices that are in your head. Right? Anybody talk to yourself? Some of you out loud, I've heard. We have these voices that come from our own thoughts. The problem is that so many times they're filled with fear. They're filled with doubt. And they are the improper perspective on our life and on the truth of what God wants us to see. Maybe you've heard some of these voices. Here, I wrote some of them down. They say things like this. I'm not good enough. There's nothing special about me. I am dirty and worthless. I don't know what to do. Anybody heard that voice come from within you? How could God love me? God couldn't possibly forgive me for what I've done. How about this voice? Anybody heard this one? I know that I should resist, but I just can't. Anybody heard that one? I did last night when it came to eating. Don't eat that bad stuff. I got to do it. But we do that. We hear these voices. How about this voice? It's only a small sin. Do you know who heard that voice? Anybody think of somebody who heard that voice? Eve heard it. How about Lot? Lot heard that voice. You know, I know he heard the voice because he repeated that voice to the angel. He said, when he left Sodom and Gomorrah, how about I go over to this city? God had already said, I don't want you, here's what I want you to do. Get away from all these cities. And Lot said, please, 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 can I just go to this city? It's very small. And we do that. Listen, I like what, anybody ever read C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters? I love that book. I love the thinking. It helps me put in perspective the temptations of the enemy. But one of the things that the old demon says to the young protege, he says, it does not matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into the nothing. He says, murder is no better than cards if cards can do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. And we hear this voice. It's a small sin. The voice is from within. How about this? No one loves me. I am a failure. I'm stupid. I'm ugly. I can't do anything right. I'm damaged goods. And a thousand other representations of the inner voices that we hear. I'm not going to survive. I'm scared. This is the end. I mean, all of these things that come from within. And the problem with voices that come from within is that sometimes they take on this false sense of humility that sounds right, but keeps us from walking in the destiny and the strength that God has for us. Now let me say that again. Sometimes the voices from within, and think about some of those statements, maybe you have some of your own, and I would encourage you as you're going through this today, just write down some of the voices that you've heard. Put your own words to it. I've just written some things down that I've heard, that I've heard others say, but write some of your own down for each of these categories today. What are some of the voices from within that you've heard in your life? And sometimes, like I said, sometimes they take on this false sense of humility, almost like we're being humble and saying that, like that's a good assessment. And yet, they're not correct because they keep us from walking in the destiny that God has for us, in the strength that God has for us. Let me point this out with another passage of Scripture. Judges chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. We're talking about Gideon here. I want you to think about the voices from within that he heard when you read these passages. And verse 14 says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? In verse 15, he says, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. Now, let's pause there for just a minute. So God says to him, look, you can do this, right? You have enough strength to do what I'm telling you to do. You've got this. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. So there's the destiny that God has for Gideon. And the strength that God is going to provide for Gideon to accomplish God's will. But immediately, I believe Gideon hears one of those voices within. And the voice within says, who are you? The voice within says, you can't do that. You're nobody. You've never done anything like this before. And by the way, you come from one of the weakest, smallest clans in all of Israel. Who are you to be able to do this? And we hear those voices. We hear those voices when God calls us by His Holy Spirit and He has something that He wants us to do. We say, who am I? I can't do that. There's no way. Do you see how those voices can have more power than the voice of God? Which voice are you going to listen to? Go to the next verse, please. And the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. So God has to reinforce. You're listening to the wrong voice. You're listening. You weren't listening to me, Gideon. You're not hearing my voice. You do. You do have this. You do have the authority and the power. You have my authority because I'm going to be with you. And that's what God has promised us too. We don't have to live in fear of the voices within because God says, I'm with you. And because I'm with you, that makes all of those things, they're not pertinent to the calling that I've put on your life, to the things that I want you to do, to the things that I'm speaking to you. We sang songs this morning about who we are in Christ Jesus. And we so need to know that because the voices within, they try to come against that every day. The voices within try to say, and you're not saved. You're not good enough. God couldn't love you today. You couldn't possibly be right with God. Voices within. I started thinking about, and you know, we could spend all kinds of time going through the entire Bible and finding examples of this, but I want you to think about these people. You think Moses heard those voices from within? When God said, Moses, I'm sending you to be a deliverer of my people. Moses heard him, and he said, send someone else because I can't speak well. You know where that thought came from? It came from himself. We read later on in the scripture that he was a man powerful in word and speech. But his inner voice was challenging the call of God and saying, you're so stupid, you can't even speak right, Moses. And he began to believe that and he listened to that voice and God had to work with him and pull that out and correct him. So much so that he said, okay, how about Aaron? I'll give you some company. I'll give you some encouragement. How about Aaron? He speaks well. How about Mary? Anybody think Mary heard these voices from within as she fought to believe the message that the angel brought to her? Greetings, you who are highly favored, the voice of God. The truth of the Lord. And I bet immediately voices went off inside of her head. Favored. Now with scripture we read things like that. I'm just a handmaid. I think she fought those voices. But praise be to God that she found authority to win over those voices by believing what God has spoken to her. And she said, may it be unto me as you have said. I think Mary probably struggled and said, I hear these voices in my head saying, how could this be? Because she said that. I hear these voices saying, I'm not worthy. This is impossible. But I'm going to choose to believe in the voice that said it's going to happen. How about How about Peter? You think Peter was prone to listening to the voices from within? I do. Oh my goodness, I do. That's why he was so quick to say the wrong things at the wrong time. Peter heard these voices. And let me share at least one time that I believe that he heard these voices very loudly in his life. He heard the wind, he heard the earthquake, he heard the fire. And it was after he denied Jesus three times. And it was days later after the resurrection of Christ when Jesus appeared to the disciples and they had been out fishing all night. Remember the story? And they come in, they get a large catch just like they'd done in the beginning of Jesus' ministry with them. And Peter jumps out of the boat and he runs in and he gets to the shore and there's Jesus. And Jesus already had breakfast all made. He was already ready to go on the fire. And they eat and they're talking, and then Jesus pulls Peter aside and they begin to talk. And Jesus said this, "Do you love me?" Come on, you remember what I'm talking about? And what did Peter say? "I love you. Lord, I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Pretty soon Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" He says, "Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And then the third time. But the scripture says that the third time that Jesus said it, something broke in Peter's life. And I think what broke was that power of the voices that were within that had been speaking to him since the night that he had disowned Jesus three times. How many know about these voices? The voices that just go off after we've done something wrong, after we've sinned, after we've walked away from God, and the voices that go off, and they are powerful, and they are negative, and they condemn us, and they continue to go off even after we have, as Peter did on that night. The word says he wept that night. You think Peter was sorry for what he had done? You think Peter had already repented of denying Jesus? I think he had. He knew that he had missed the mark. And yet those voices, I think, continued to go off in Peter's head day after day, so much so that the Lord knew, if I don't deal with this and get him listening to my voice again, then he'll never be able to walk in the destiny that I have for him. And that's where many of us get caught. We spend so much time listening to the wind and the earthquake and the fire, the voices that are telling us that we failed and there is no forgiveness and all of these things, that we can't walk in the destiny that God has for us. And so what Jesus does with Peter is remarkable. And he brings him to that point that he focuses him just like Elijah. And he says, "Peter, where are you walking right now? What are you listening to?" And by affirming to Peter, watch this, by affirming to Peter three times that he still had a purpose for his life. See, you may hear a command, "Feed my sheep." I hear this, "Peter, I still love you. I created you for this purpose. You're going to be a leader in the church. You've got work to do, but you can't do that work if you are wallowing in self-pity, if you're listening to those inner voices. I haven't given up on you, Peter. Why are you giving up on yourself? You're a man of God. I need you. Rise up. Get away from those voices and listen to me. I still want you to do this." Isn't that a powerful word from God when God says, Look, I get it, I know, and I'm not happy with the fact that you failed and that there's sin, but I came to die for that sin and forgive that sin and to free you from that sin, and I still have a purpose for you. I still want you. I still want you in my kingdom. I still want to use you. But you can't walk in that destiny if you're listening to those voices that come from within. Number two, the voice is without. We have the voices within, we have the voices without. Now, these are the voices that originate from others. These are not our own thoughts. But I will tell you this, that sometimes the voices that come from without initiate or help reinforce the negative voices that are already coming from within us. You got what I'm saying? So sometimes it's the voices from without that say something that start us thinking. Anybody been there? Somebody says a word and all of a sudden all you, and it's not them speaking to you anymore. Then the inner voices take over and they start, oh, told you so. That just proves that. Or they start that thinking in the first place. The problem with these voices from without. Now I want you to get this morning. The problem with these voices from without are that they don't see things from God's perspective. There is nobody around you who sees things exactly the way God sees things. And you need to know that this morning. There is no voice around you that has the eternal perspective that God has. There is no voice around you that sees the entire truth. God sees the entire truth. There is no voice around you that sees the beginning from the end. And yet, when those voices come, we treat them as if they were all-knowing and they were always right. Come on, I want to break some strongholds of voices this morning. They don't see things from God's perspective. Those voices from without, most of the time those voices from without, they don't know. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. They don't see your heart. There's a great example of this in the scripture. King David. I was reading somebody's introduction, Pastor George Wood's introduction to one of the books he wrote, and he was saying that he was struggling with the Psalms because David wrote so many of the Psalms. And he said, I was struggling, you know, with really studying the Psalms and letting the Psalms speak powerfully in my life because David wrote so many of them. And he said, honestly, I had a low opinion of David. After all, he was an adulterer, a murderer, right? Didn't do a great job of disciplining his kids. And so he said, I had a low opinion of David, but then he said, one of the things that reinforced it was, but that helped him also get over it was that he said, I wasn't the only person with a low opinion of David. He said, I began to realize his brothers didn't think much of him. Right? What are you doing here, David? You're up to something. You're up to no good. Just get back home. You're not old enough to be here. Nobody wants you here. Go back and take care of those few sheep that you have to deal with. Those are the words they spoke. How about the giant Goliath? Goliath certainly didn't have a very high opinion of David. What are the words that he spoke over David? Who am I, a dog that you would send this little boy out to fight me? Now, he's nothing. Nothing. How about his own wife? His own wife despised him in her heart. And the Bible tells us that she spoke words over him too. You are foolish today. Dancing that way in front of all those slave girls. You were just, you're an idiot. His son tried to kill him and usurp his throne. But even before all of that, I want you to go all the way back to the beginning of our introduction to David. Even Samuel, at the beginning, didn't have a high opinion of David because he was the youngest and the smallest of all the brothers. Now, it took God to correct the prophet's perspective. And what did God say? God said, Samuel, you are looking from man's perspective. You're seeing things the way your eyes see them. And see, that's the problem with so many words that come from without. People are not seeing you. They're not seeing the circumstances from God's perspective. They're seeing it from their limited perspective. And when they do, their words will inflict doubt and fear and hurt and pain in your life because they're not speaking the truth of God. And so like Samuel, they see the outward and they make a decision. This is what I see. That person's not worth it. That person's never going to amount to anything. They're never going to overcome that difficulty. They're never going to rise up and be any different. They're always going to be that way. They're no good. And that's the voices that are spoken. But thankfully, God corrected the prophet and he said, Samuel, you're looking at it from man's perspective, but I don't see things that way. And what did God say? We quote the verse all the time. What did God say? He said, man looks at the outward, but I see the heart. And what he was saying is that, Samuel, I see that David is king material. And he's going to be a man after my own heart. Did God know in advance that David was going to mess up and do some things wrong? Yeah. Yeah, God knew that. And yet, with that foreknowledge, what did God tell Samuel to do? Anoint him king. See, God has some powerful words to speak over you. Because he doesn't see you from the perspective of man. He sees you from the eternal perspective, the all-knowing perspective. And God has these good things to speak over you even when he knows that your future is not going to be 100% perfect. And yet he still, if he could tell you something, he would speak the words of affirmation and his words of love and his words of encouragement and his words declaring who you really are. And so I think, does God want us to get this truth? That the testimony that is recorded of David that we have with us today is not that David was an adulterer and a murderer. That's not the testimony that we have recorded of David. We know that that happened, that he did those things. But that's not his identity as recorded in the scripture. His identity as recorded in the scripture is David, a man after my own heart. Wow. That's a very different voice than the voices from without. A very different voice than the voices that come from within. The voices that come from without are filled with a lack of compassion and understanding. The voices that come from without have a worldly perspective. The voices are often selfish. They are filled with self-serving criticism. What's self-serving criticism? Self-serving criticism means that if I feel bad about myself, I try to make myself feel better by bringing you down. You see, in the voices that come from without, a lot of times they're filled with a whole lot of self-serving criticism. So the criticism that's coming may not be truthful perspective at all. It may simply be nothing more than, I want to hurt you because I'm hurting right now. And if I can bring you down and try to show the world that you're worse than I am, I don't have to focus on how bad I am. And that's why people react that way so many times. So that's why we came up with a statement a long time ago that says, well, that's the pot calling the kettle black. Because we know that the tendency is for people to criticize about things that they got problems with too. So these voices are filled with selfish and self-serving criticism. These voices are filled with misinformation. How many voices have spoken into our lives that just, they're misinformed? I mean, that's why we have all the problems we have in the world today with the news media and everything else. We get all these voices that they don't have the correct information, but they start speaking as if they did have the correct information. And before the information can be corrected, a whole lot of other dominoes have fallen and caused a whole lot more problems. So these voices that come from without, most of the time, they're filled with a lot of ignorance. And I don't say that as self-serving criticism. They're filled with bias. Everybody has a bias of some sort. And many times the voices that are coming to us from without, they're coming to us because they're biased in a certain direction. And these voices that come from without, a lot of times they're filled with hate. You know, one of the reasons why we have so much violence in the world is because there's so many voices that are spewing ignorance and hate. And it erupts. Like that earthquake. Like that fire. Number three. Then we have the voices from below. The voices from below. Now, these are the voices that come straight from the pit of hell. And hear me. I don't believe that there's a demon around every corner. But I do know that our enemy is real. And he has a voice. That's why he's called the father of lies. His mission, and by the way, all of those who work with him, his minions, they deceive, they manipulate, they malign the truth to fit their purposes. They sow doubt and fear. These are the voices from below. I mean, it is their job to lie. And they do a good job at it. He's been lying from the beginning. That's the only language that he knows how to speak. If there's even the slightest bit of truth within the lie, the only reason for that little bit of truth is to get you manipulated to believe the lie. And we hear his voice. I'm not saying you're demon-possessed because you hear Satan's voice. Was Eve demon-possessed when she heard the voice of the enemy? No. Was Jesus demon-possessed when he heard the voice of Satan tempt him 3 times in the desert? No. And we're not demon-possessed either when we hear the voices that come from below that want to deceive us. You see, their entire job is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so they launch these things. And yes, sometimes we are not hearing our own voice. We're not hearing the voices of others. Sometimes we are literally hearing the voices of the enemy who is trying to steal, kill, and destroy us. And sometimes the enemy uses other people to further that along. Sometimes the enemy uses our own voices to further that along. But he has his voice. What are those voices from below saying? Again, I want you to think about this and think about some of the times that you've heard voices from below. They say things like, you're not good enough. You're going to fail. They say things, love to say this, God can't forgive you. They love to say this, God is finished with you. One of their favorites is, God has forgotten you. They say things like, you'll never be free. They say things like, you've messed up so many times. They say things like, there is no hope. And they say things like, I have to tell you, I'm so sick that so many people hear this voice and they believe it and they give into it. They say things like this, people would be better off if you were dead. That's voice from below. And I cringe when I think of how many people have heard that voice and they've believed it. And they've committed suicide. If you're hearing that voice, that's not a voice of God. That's a voice of the enemy that came to steal, kill, and destroy and separate you from the presence of an almighty God. God would never, ever say that. There would never, ever be a purpose in which God would say, you know what, people would be better off if you're dead. Or it's the only way to end the pain. They say things like, you're weak and insignificant. They say things like, you're not smart enough. They say things like this, it's okay. Everyone else is doing it. They say things like this, how can it be wrong if it feels so right? See, that was the serpent's original lie in the garden. Eve, how can this be wrong? Have you seen this fruit? Have you seen how good it is? And taste it. It's good for, that's what Eve said. Hey, it's good. It's pleasing to the eye and it's good for food. How could it be wrong? And I've heard that lie propagated so many times about so many areas of life that says, how could this be wrong if it feels so right? Voices. Voices. I've got to hurry this morning as usual. I'm out of time. Number four. How about the voices from above? Elijah, at this point, has heard the voices from within. He's heard voices from without. He's heard voices from below. But now it was time that he hear the voices from above. The voices from above, and I want you to write one word down, if nothing else. Write the word truth. The voices from above are the truths spoken to us from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I say that because everything that God speaks is truth. We don't have to doubt it. We don't have to question it. We don't have to figure it out. Why is it true? If it comes from God, it is true. Right? Okay. So these are truths that come from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Because God always tells the truth. He can't lie. He would never deceive us. There's some scriptures up here. We'll just go through them real quick. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. 1 Samuel 15:29 says, he who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind. How about Hebrews 6:18? God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Titus 1:2. In the hope of eternal life, which God who does not lie promised before the beginning of time. Well, I love that verse because it's saying that look, the promises of God, they're not based on a lie. So eternal life, it's going to prove to be true. And every other promise of God is going to be true. Everything that he speaks to you is true. And in John 10, we read that his sheep hear his voice. I told you you heard voices. His sheep hear his voice. You don't have to complete some college exam to be able to hear the voice of God. You just have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, be born again. Because his sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And then a little later, John 10:4 says, and when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. You can know the voice of God. You can differentiate between the voices that are within, the voices that are without, the voices that are from below, and the voices which are from above. And finally, in John chapter 10, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And that's what we want to do. That's the voice that we want to follow, is the voice of God. And here's what you're going to hear God saying. And if you haven't heard these things, then you need to begin listening to what God wants to speak to you. Sometimes we talk about these in worship, in our messages, at the altar, but God is speaking these things, and these clearly are things that we hear from the voices above. You write your own down this morning. But I've heard these voices from above say things like, I created you, I love you, and I have a purpose for you. I hear them say things like, I will forgive you. I will restore you. I will heal your past and give you a future. I hear things like, you are my son. If you're a lady in here, he also says this, you're my daughter. In whom I am well pleased. That wasn't only Jesus he was speaking about, but when we are in Christ Jesus, he's speaking that about us. I hear him say all the time, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always. I hear him say, you are not alone. There are many others going through the same trials you are. And I sometimes hear the voices from above remind me, and some people have it worse than you do. That's something I hear from the voices above. Because it puts me in God's perspective. Because he sees everybody. And sometimes he has to correct me a little bit and say, hey, I hear you. I know that you're struggling. I know what you're going through. And I haven't forgotten about you. But I also want to remind you that there's a lot of other people going through things. And you're not as bad off as some of those other people are. So keep trusting me. I've got a plan. I hear him say things like, I'm not done with you. I hear the Holy Spirit say things like, my ways are right and good, and they bring blessing to your life. I need to hear that one more. Because the other voices are saying, hey, try other things. Do other ways than God's way. I hear him saying, I am for you, not against you. We sang that this morning. I hear him say things like, you are an overcomer. I hear him saying, nothing can separate you from my love. I hear him saying, you can do anything because I will give you strength. I hear him saying, I will go with you and lead you in the way you should go. And I hear him saying, with me, all things are possible. All right, let me close this by saying two things. Number one, not every voice from within and without are negative. Okay? I get that. Not every voice from within and without are negative. Now, I'm not going to say that about the voices from below. They're always negative. They're always wrong. But sometimes the voices from within and without, they're not negative. But here's what you've got to do. They must be in line with the voice of God in order for us to accept them at all. If they are not in line with the voice of God, don't listen to them for a minute. I'm not saying they can't be, because even the Bible says our mind can be transformed. We can begin thinking the thoughts of God. We can begin uttering and meditating and murmuring the truths of the Scripture. Those things are good. But they have to be in line with the voice of God. The second thing that I want to tell you is that not every voice from above will be gentle. I don't want to leave you with a misperception that God never has any correction to speak to us, because he does. So it may not be gentle, because God may need to share hard truth with us, but you can be assured that even the harshest truths will be shared in love, and they will be shared for our good. And it will be absolute truth. So if you hear the voice from above and it sounds like it's correction, don't toss it out. Know that he's only saying that because he loves you and he wants good things for your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Now, we've worshiped, we've heard the word, and I really believe God wants to do something with this word today. So I'm going to have an altar call. Maybe you're here today and you have heard some of these voices I've been talking about. Maybe, like Elijah, you're tired, you're discouraged, you're lonely. Maybe you're scared. Maybe you feel defeated. Maybe you're confused. There's a voice you need to hear today. Before you leave this place, there's a voice that you need to hear today. And it's the voice of God. I don't know what he wants to speak to you, but I know that he always has something to say. Amen? Amen? So as we play this song, I'm going to open up these altars. And the altar can be here. It can be at your seat. I know. But I just challenge you. Take a few minutes. I'm not going to close again. This is our time of closing. Take a few minutes. If you need to hear the voice of God today, maybe you've been hearing all kinds of other voices. Maybe those voices have shook you up. Maybe they have unsettled you. Maybe they've even burned.